all the games I used to play in my younger wilder days, the game of clubs and
the intro. Never crossed my mind. Welcome into the Turn Golf Podcast. I'm Andrew Putters. This is Joe Nicely, and it is Playership Week. And Joe Nicely, lead sports editor at rotoballer.com. Let's talk about rotoballer.com first, and then we'll get into other things. But before we do that, you see a new icon right here on my screen. There is a QR code there for Kids Play Free. It's the Kids Play Free initiative here in the Tennessee Golf Foundation puts on. If you'd like to donate, you could hit that link right there and donate. We try to make everybody in Tennessee. We've got East Tennessee and Middle Tennessee worked out, and we're trying to get it all over the state where kids can go to a golf course and play free anytime they want before they're 18. So there's that icon right there next to my head. Go up there anytime during the show. Click on that. You can donate. Now, Joe Nicely, rotoballer.com. Let's talk about the team we got over there. Let's talk about how much taller you're sitting in your chair today for some reason. And yeah, rotoballer.com, best place in the world for your daily fantasy needs. Go, buddy.
Yeah, man. Really excited about the content we're putting out over there this year, AP, at rotoballer.com. We got an amazing team. My son getting over there. You can check out his very own Tee-Off Sports VIP premium package this year, which is basically just all of Spencer's content. He's absolutely killing it in head-to-heads this year. So that's something you want to check out this week. Our man that we're going to talk about a little bit more in a minute, the model maniac, Byron Lindekew, he's also killing it, popping out free content, premium content. We got a great course breakdown over there. We do every week, all kinds of tools, research station, ownership. We got you covered. The players this week, we got the major coming up. So I really encourage you to go over to rotoballer.com and check out everything over there. A lot of free stuff as well. So definitely want you to hit that up. But if you want to dive a little deeper, check out our premium offerings. You can use our promo code TURN, T-U-R-N, and get 10% off over there right now.
That's right, rotoballer.com, best place in the world for your daily fantasy needs. Joe, last week, Arnold Palmer Invitational. Before I let you say a few things, I want to say a massive cut spread on the tournament, somewhere in the neighborhood of 18 to 28%, depending on which DFS leagues you were playing in. And a lot of studs came and went last week, but Kirk Kitayama was just the man we was looking for to take home the crown. And tell us why, Joe Nicely.
What'd you say?
I said, tell us why Kirk Kitayama was just the man we were looking for to take home win last week.
Yeah, man, he hung in there with all those big boys, you know. So it was a really cool victory for a guy that's played on basically every tour you can think of. Originally from California, but he spent a lot of time on the Euro Tour. Kind of went that route to get his card. Spent time on the Corn Ferry Tour. So really cool that he was A, in the event, and beat all those superstars that were up the top of the board. We'd seen some form from him. I know a couple people had talked about Kitayama last week. So, you know, there was a lot to like. He was a really reasonable salary tag, below 7K last week on DraftKings. So there's a lot to like there. You know, if you were looking for a cheap option, he shown some form, and he's got a lot of game. You know, he's just one of those guys that runs hot and cold and found a good streak of form lately. Do that on a tough Bay Hill course against the caliber of players that he did against. So really, really impressive win, man, for Kirk Kitayama.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Jordan Spieth. We thought the guy couldn't miss a putt for 10 holes, and then he couldn't make a putt in the last 8. It was pretty wild situation. Do you have any thoughts on the Jordan Spieth situation there on the back nine?
Yeah, man, the dude's just I don't know any better way to describe it than a roller coaster. I had a lot riding on how Jordan Spieth performed yesterday. So, you know, I literally was there with him up and down the whole way. And it was one of those things where on the front nine, it was classic Jordan Spieth. I mean, just out of his mind, making everything, chipping in, making every putt. And then on the back nine, it was had the golf tournament, honestly, in hand. AP was at 10 under par. They're turning to the back, you know, down the back stretch. I think at 11 or 12, he was 10 under par. So, you know, he had the tournament in hand and honestly missed about four putts within 6 feet, where if he makes just one or two of them, he probably wins a golf tournament or is in a playoff. So it's just, he's electric, man. We aren't, just a classic Jordan Spieth performance. That's all I know to say.
Yeah, pretty wild. And then, the weekend was a little weird anyway, right? I mean, players falling everywhere. The key players for me were Justin Thomas, Xander, and, Willie Z, and they faded. I think all six rounds on the weekend for them were over par, which is pretty wild. Maybe Justin shot even one under on Saturday. I can't remember, but anyway, it was pretty wild. So, So let's move on to the Players Championship this week. Wait a minute, did you talk about your weekend? Did we fit that in?
We didn't put that in, but yeah, I had a nice little weekend, man, on FanDuel. Able to take down the GPP over there. It was a wild one, man. Like I said, I was kind of living and dying by Jordan Spieth. I had a fun Sunday, good fun little sweat. So took down the $9 Eagle on FanDuel over there for a little 30 ball, baby.
Yeah.
So we're ready to roll.
Man, it's just, we talked about this last week. You have to have everybody in position and then go off. And those Sunday pushes, like your Keegan Bradley push, is huge, right? And like the week before, Johnny Vegas pushed there from nowhere to hero, right?
Yeah, it's a trend we see. Something you talked about last week with Johnny Vegas PP. Not everybody in your lineup has to be in the top 10 going into Sunday. And oftentimes you want those guys chasing, like you talked about last week with Jonathan Vegas at the Honda. For me it was Keegan Bradley and Davis Riley. Both those guys, you know, played terrible on Saturday. You can't play any worse. But then both came out and played great on Sunday and made charges, getting those kind of earlier tee times while guys late were struggling. So they came out and posted numbers for me, and then I had you know, some of the guys. So yeah, man, very fortunate to hang on there. It was really up and down all day. It looked like at one point I was going to run away with it when it looked like Spieth was going to win the tournament. And then as he turned, things got tight, so it came down to the end. But fortunate enough to squeak one out. You feel like over the years you kind of have a lot go against you, so it's good to get one go your way occasionally.
I agree 100%. Players Championship this week, Joe, we're moving on to Jacksonville or – Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, TBC Sawgrass Stadium course, architect Pete Dye, 1980. This is kind of like the start of the stadium style, you know, designs that were made for golfers or for PGA, for viewership on site for the patrons, renovated in 2016 by Dye and one of his buddies. You got Poa Greens. We have Champion Rye Overseed collars and approach areas, fairways, and tee boxes. Rough is also Champion Fine Rye Overseed, probably about 3.5 inches, roughly. Green speed, decently faster. They might not measure or might publicize what the measurement is, but usually it's about 12 or so. Par 72, 7,300 yards, roughly. Key things about this course we can talk about. Your drives have to be in a position where you can attack these holes, Joe. especially on the holes that you want to be able to attack. Speaking of par fives, driver placement is going to be very important. And then trying to dodge the big number also is a big deal here. Seems like year in, year out, iron play and really double bogey avoidance is going to be big, right? And you gotta be able to take advantage of the few really, really gettable par fives. And especially like a 17, tee shot there is super important. Not making a huge mistake on your, 16. Tee shot's very important. Not making a huge mistake on the second shot and then capitalizing, right? Like hole 11 can be either a birdie or double bogey. So Players Championship, it does seem like we see very similar players here succeed year in, year out. Joe, talk a little bit about TPC Sawgrass Stadium course, Pete Dye as a designer, whatever you want to talk about. Give us a little bit of what you think about them. I can't hear you, Joe.
Yeah, man, sorry about that. It's a really interesting golf course. Obviously, one of the longstanding tour stops that we see every single year, but it's still really tough to kind of put your finger on TPC Sawgrass. Pete Dye went out of his way to design this course not to favor any one type of player, and sure does seem like he's successful. We've seen a lot of different types of players win over the years. But with everything that TPC Sawgrass is, so that's normally what I weigh the heaviest in this event. Mixed track record here for me personally, and we can say that for a lot of guys in this field, man. Even guys with really good course history will oftentimes have a miscut in there or several low finishes. So this golf course kind of creates volatility. It wreaks havoc on some of these guys. You mentioned the blow-up holes that are out there kind of waiting. So it's a really, really tough event to put your finger on, full of great players. So on this type of golf course with a really good field, it's one of those things where, anybody on the slate can play well. So it's a tough one, man. I would kind of just say, expect volatility and embrace it a little bit if you can in GPPs and DFS contests, because this golf course can throw some crazy stuff at us. I think the weather's supposed to be pretty calm this week. So that's a plus. Maybe that'll settle things down a bit. But
yeah, last year we had some weather, and then we thought it was one way, then they halted play and it ended up messing up the other wave. And so just, this golf course is fun to watch. It's fun to watch a golf tournament though. Let's be honest, Joe. I mean, last four, three, four, I could sit there and watch basically just 16 and 17. And if you just gave me those two holes, I would be fine with that. Just watching that for 3 or 4 hours. But
18's a good hole. I mean, 18's a really good finishing hole. We saw a couple years ago, JT almost rinsed one when he was trying to win. Last year, Cam Smith pushed one out way right. So it's 18's a cool finishing hole. So it's it's a great golf course to watch on TV and watch these guys try to navigate.
Yeah. I can't wait, man. I like it because there's so many people in this field. They tee off at like 6:40 in the morning. So on the East Coast, we love. I'm usually way up in early in the morning. So yeah,
coffee golf, baby. Coffee golf. Yeah,
that's right. We got perfect weather right now in East Tennessee, and that's probably why I look a little bit tired. I did a camping trip over the weekend, and got no sleep, and then went straight into work when I got home, and I am beat down. So I don't have a ton of energy, and not to mention that Willie Z and JT and Xander shot about 150 on the weekend for 2 days. that hurt pretty bad. So it broke, crushed my heart and dreams. And then, you want to dive in a little bit to the slate real quick? And then Byron should be joining us.
Let's hop in. I think we got our buddy joining us here in a second, hopefully.
Yeah. He just texted me. He should be in here. Tell you what, he's Byron's the man of the people. He's on. He does not turn down an opportunity to go on a show somewhere. So, let's see here. We got to pull it up on the
phone. Man, we're gonna bring him in here in just a second to talk through the slate. What you do up the top this week, AP? This feels so loaded. Do you spend up above 10K?
I mean, is there really only one player up here that's had a ton of success or some success here or not? I don't,
Rory's.
Mm-hmm.
Rory's going to win here. There he is.
There he boys.
There he is.
Maniac.
That's okay, Byron. We love you. Hey, good looking tan you got. I saw you doing gainers down there in Hawaii. I have a question, though. Were you kicked out of Wahala Country Club because of your accent or because you didn't have a shirt on?
No, I'm from Tennessee, and I'm here to get a hat from Wahala Country Club. No, just the guy did not want me there at all, man. Didn't want me there. We looked like we were tourists, and it was very obvious that we shouldn't have been in the country club, but yeah. Had to shoot your shot to get a hat, right? And they didn't even want to take my money from me. So, you know what? I went somewhere else and sold
it. How did you get in? Don't they have like a 20-foot tall fence around that whole piece of property?
Yeah, it's just bushes. It's just bushes and bushes. Okay. So I eventually went to a 5-star hotel just down the road, and then I walked through all the rooms, and I went and saw the first green. I watched some guy hack it out of the bunker 3 times on 1. It was a fun time, man. I managed to finally see the course at least. A little bit of it. So we broke a lot of rules and laws, and it was like a fun time.
Sounds like Mission Impossible meets Cousin Eddie situation.
/ Magnum PI.
Yeah.
So which I saw that happening as well live out there. Yeah. It was a crazy time. It was lots of fun.
All right, guys. Well, I'm gonna leave the slate this week, and we've already talked about last week and how Joe's getting ready to take us, rent a jet and take us on vacation somewhere.
Byron. Yes.
And then,
yes.
We've kind of broke down the golf course. We're just getting in the slate. I'm going to leave it with y'all and let the DFS breakdown go down to the specialist, Byron and Joe. So y'all have at it.
All right. So you out of here then? All right. He's out.
Yeah. Hello, Joe. AP's out, man. He's got things going on tonight.
Awesome. Well, I'm just jumping, like, literally went from my pod.
It's you and I, little brother. We're I know. It's a wild week. Everybody's pumped for the players, and we are too. I want to encourage everybody to check out Byron's stuff over at rotoballer.com. You can use his code MANIAC, save yourself some money. He's doing great things over there. So tell me a little bit about the top of the slate, Byron. What are you thinking, man? The players for me is a tough one to spend up on. This golf course and this tournament.
Yeah. We were just talking about all three of these guys. Historically
very volatile, so do we want to spend up this DraftKings?
Yeah. We were just talking about all three of the top three guys playing together, which is going to be really interesting. And we've mentioned that Scotty Scheffler's missed a lot of those. His two cuts because he was playing with John Rahm, which is really interesting. So I don't even know how much I'm going to be going to the top of that board with everybody looking so good beneath them. So if I were to pick somebody, I'd probably go Scotty because I just feel like his game is just well-rounded enough to kind of do okay here. But yeah. I don't know, Joe. I'm going to need your assistance here after winning $30,000 last week. So who are you really liking the most at the top?
Yeah, I think it's one of those weeks where you don't have to spend up. You can totally just drop down and kind of start in the mid-high tier and leave these guys off and take your chances. Because like I said, we've you know, even guys with good course history at the, you know, Rom and Rory both, I think their strength lies off the tee with their ability with the driver. We're going to see that driver come out of their hands on several holes this week. But I will say, man, I was looking at Rom's approach numbers today, and they're better than I thought they would be. I think that's kind of where the wins are coming from, the improved iron play. So don't sleep on John Rahm this week, just because he can be said a Rory. You know, they're definitely in play. Either can win this golf tournament, but I don't know that either are have to have, kind of like we felt about them on some of these recent slates. What about under the tip top, Byron? It seems like, obviously, you know, this feels very, very strong. So we got a lot of quality players in the 9K range. My eyes immediately go to JT. First of the week, probably my favorite play, my favorite spend up is Jay Tarr, but it's been a solid year. We know what can happen when he gets things going. So talk to me a little bit about the 9K range. Who are you liking there?
Yeah, Justin's really interesting because he's obviously a past winner here. Is that what you really like, Joe? I don't know. I haven't even taken a peek right now at his actual course history outside of that. Timmy's played pretty solid year in the past too because of that elite, you know, just long iron game off the tee. And it looks like he's – I like to play – yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say the course history is really good. Best career scoring average in the field. He's played it 7 times, made 7 cuts, which is really saying something on this golf course. So, you know, I was really impressed by him. You know, he won this event in 2021, Byron, but I was maybe as impressed by what he did last year, kind of on the bad side of that weather draw. One of the best rounds of golf I've seen. We just got every shot in the bag. I can work the ball both ways, and this is one of the few golf courses left on the schedule that really requires that. So he just really pops for me. I think it'd be popular, though. But yeah, give me your thoughts on any of the other guys there in the 9K.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough. We're going to literally, I mean, Max, Patrick, and Colin Morikawa and Cantlay, they are all, and Tony, you know, like this 9K range. That's why it's so easy to skip out on that 10K and 11K range, because you've got absolute champions sitting in this range. Someone that I'm probably going to keep trying to ride is Max Homer. I mean, I think I was looking at the stats earlier for last week. He gained the least amount of strokes. He lost the most strokes out of everybody inside the top 40 putting, excluding Emiliano Grillo, who had one of the worst putting weeks of his life. But Max Homer was one of – he still finished T14, losing like 3 strokes putting, which is crazy to think about in that field. And I think he can probably get away with that a little bit this week again. But he's not even a bad putter. He's a really – leading into last week, he was the best putter over the last 24 rounds. And then he went and lost that many strokes putting. So there's a lot to be desired from Max there still on the greens, and he left a lot out there. So I think he can really do some nice things here. I think he also finished like T14th here last year when he was still kind of an up-and-coming superstar. Well, not even a superstar at that point. I think he's turned into a superstar since the Players last year. And – if you get a Max Homer that's playing that much better now, sign me up. I'm all in on Max. And then Cantlay as well. He's just, you know, doing his thing, just plodding along, and he's so consistent, man. You know, he dominates the par fives, which I think this course has got a lot of too. You know, the 4 of them here, you need to score on them. He does great, great things. And it's a course I think he can excel on. And he's also, you know, super affordably priced. You can almost start your lineups with those two guys and get pretty much a solid floor.
Yeah, for sure, man. You mentioned Max Homa. Yeah. He really strong player. Had a T13 here last year at the Players. And we talked a little bit at the top about, you know, how important iron play will be this week, and that this at its heart is a second shot golf course, and Max leads the field in strokes gained approach over the last 24 rounds. So there's just a ton to like about his game. I know you've been all over him this year, and There's no reason. I see no reason to hop off. Cantlay always feel really similar players to me. We know those guys are good friends, and I guess it's just happenstance that their games feel so similar to me. Both just do everything really well. So, you know, they've struggled here lately. Not played well. Xander's missed three straight cuts at the Players after a runner-up in his debut, and then Cantlay's missed three straight cuts as well after posting a couple top 25s at the Players. So really kind of odd that both those got to him here despite that recent history. Talk to me a little bit about the 8Ks, Byron. Still a ton of, you know, very viable DFS plays. Guys that we feel like can win this tournament. So as we go on down the scale, who's standing out for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll shoot all the way down to the bottom. I'm not entirely sure how popular he's going to be, but I can imagine everyone's going to be speaking about him because Tom Kim finally gets to get playing golf on a golf course that he can feel comfortable on and doesn't feel like he's handicapped, you know, with his length at these long Bay Hills, Genesis, Way Spanish Phoenix Opens, you know, those are all longer tracks that you need to have some length off the tee. Whereas Tom, I think going into this week, he's going to feel comfortable that he doesn't have to press his game. He's going to be able to just rely on the things that he is comfortable doing. And I think that's going to help him putt better too, because I don't think he's going to be as pressured to make all those par putts. He's going to have a lot more birdie looks, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think the whole mental aspect of things for him is going to really turn around at this venue, and this course suits up. I don't know if there's a better course for him on tour, you know, than this one. So love him. And then a little further up there, I think Willie Z's got some great course history, and he's a really good long iron player that he can keep those three iron stingers in play off the tee, you know, dominate those par fives. And he's super affordably priced after a poor performance last week. I think that a lot of people are concerned about his injuries, which is also an interesting thing that you can, you know, kind of get an edge on there. But I think he's playing fine. You know, I think it just sometimes you don't play good golf. You know, I think he showed what he could get up to at the Genesis. So I think maybe last week was just a bad week, not necessarily an injury. So I like him here again.
Yeah, tough to argue with any of those guys. Love your points on Tom Kim. I think this course really suits him. My only concern there is, you know, his lack of experience on this course. Pretty tough on newcomers, on courses that he hadn't played. So I like that. There's also seen a lot of people talk about the crossover between Sawgrass and the Wyndham. So, you know, that's an interesting angle to take. Seen several guys that have won both events. So yeah, man, I think it's a week to hop back on the Tom Kim train. Want to mention Jason Day just because I feel like he's going to be really popular. I think he's got a lot of people going to be talking about him this week. But he's played unbelievably well, man. It's really kind of tough to knock him, and you almost have to consider him at this 8K price point. Former Players Champion, has some extremely high finishes in this event. And he's rolling in on fire. So I think Jason Day's firmly in consideration, but it is one of those things where you got to keep an eye on the ownership. Shane Lowry's got some really solid recent finishes here lately. I could see going to him as a pivot maybe in this price range. In the Ks, the sevens are loaded, man. A lot of guys that we kind of know and love in the 7K range. So hit on a couple of your favorites there, man.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking about Chris Kirk a little bit ago. The guy's just been great lately. He's been playing really, really good golf and had, you know, a little bit of a letdown the week following a win, right? Yeah, week before last week he won.
Came out firing in the first round. It seemed like he kind of just ran out of gas.
Yeah, so that's fine, you know, and that course wasn't – he had no business competing on that kind of a golf course. Anyway, this course you can pretty much call like a premium version of PGA National, which he just won on 2 weeks ago. So I think he'll have, you know, let all that distraction get behind him now. And he's probably coming in here as confident as anyone. Yeah. You know, I feel like he's been showing up at the top of leaderboards a lot lately. And he's a super cheap, high upside guy. That's if you look at his last, like this season so far, he's been playing really good golf. Love what he's been up to. And then Keegan Bradley is going to be very popular, I think. They keep mispricing the guy down here.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's so tough, Joe, to kind of not look at Keegan Bradley's history at this venue. And just the performances that he's been showing, like last week, it wasn't necessarily the most consistent, but he still finished T10 after just going, when he gets hot, man, and it just goes. So I love what he can get up to, but yeah. That's not going to be a very leverage-based play. You know, it's going to be quite a popular play, I think, at this price. If you are looking for someone that's a bit more pivoty, you can probably go to like Tom Hoagie, who I think you got another guy that's got like an elite skill set as one of the best iron players in the field. I mean, what's Tom Hoagie sitting at approach-wise? He's sitting eighth in the field of elite studs in the last 24 rounds on approach, which I think this golf course demands exceptional approach play. And he's pretty, pretty darn good from all the ranges that matter this week. So I love those three guys mainly. You know, I'll sprinkle in a few other guys along the way.
Yeah, there's a lot to like in the 7K range. I was looking at Chris Kirk earlier. Really like his price over on FanDuel. You know, we usually talk about things in DraftKings salary scale lingo, but Chris Kirk's really interesting over there. And another guy you mentioned, Keegan Bradley, feels mispriced, man, on both sides. He's a terrific 100. And I think you're right, Byron. I think his popularity is going to skyrocket because it does feel like he's simply too cheap here. Had a fifth-place finish in this event last year. He's made six straight cuts at the Players. Had a T7 a few years ago as well. And he's coming in, you know, off a hot Sunday round. And he's played good golf as of late. Won back in October. Had a runner-up at the Farmers. So there's a lot to like with Keegan, but we do know how erratic he, you know, yes. Might be a guy you consider fading in GPPs, just try to get some leverage, because we know that Keegan can go full Keegan, and it almost happened last week, but thankfully it didn't happen. In addition to Keegan, a couple more guys, man, that just I'll get your thoughts here, that just kind of truly feel mispriced to me. I know this is a deep field, but Corey Connors and Keith Mitchell at 7,400. We hadn't seen great recent form from, you know, the final result doesn't really say how well that he played. And Keith Mitchell's just a guy that I've kind of trusted all year and wanted to play all year. In addition to Keegan, those guys just feel totally underpriced to me. You got any thoughts on Mitchell or Connors?
Well, maybe we can be happy that they are underpriced a little bit, because we can maybe go to Keegan a little bit, you know, looking at, you know, it's a Monday. I haven't really paid that much attention to all the, you know, the nuances of the ranges. But just looking at Corey Connors, Keegan Bradley, and Keith Mitchell, those three guys have been, you know, pretty solid. And I think they have, especially Connors,
I mean, got we can toss Ricky in there at 7,500. I mean, I think Ricky's probably going to garner a little bit of ownership and probably with reason, a former Players winner. And we kind of all know the story with how he's turned things around. So, I mean, we can toss Ricky in that bunch as well.
Yeah. So I think they are all four, pretty much we can say they're on the table, and then just find the guy that's the least owned out of those four guys. I don't think you can go wrong, you know, just picking one of them. They all seem like they've got incredible upside for $7,400 golfers, right? You click them first, and you're getting close to $8K a player for the next five, which is really exciting to think about when you're clicking a guy like that. So absolutely agree. You know, maybe I think pivots in this range are going to be pretty key. You might want to play a very low owned guy with one of these dudes too, I think is a nice way to go about it. You know, like a Brian Harman, who's got who knows what he's going to give you. And that's probably why he's not going to be that high owned, but you know, he suits this kind of golf course, shorter hitter, you know, tidy short game. And then Seamus Power. I'm always a big believer in Seamus until he made the cut last week on the number and then pretty much shot 12 over par over the weekend, which was disgusting golf. So I don't know. You know, I'll definitely be going back to Seamus. I think a lot of people might see what he did last week and get off of him. But we saw he won a tournament after doing similar stuff, the Bermuda he won was after a pretty much similar result. So he can just pop up at any minute. I like him a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, man, Sheamus, it almost feels like you're in or you're out. And if you're in, you play him, you get a little bit of exposure every week. Maybe. And if you don't, that's fine. Yeah. You just never play him. So, you know, he's one of those guys where I feel like you can kind of toss recent form out the window. He's capable of playing well. We've seen him do it. So, yeah, I don't mind him at all. I think you mentioned Tom. Matt Kuchar's interesting to me. We saw him play pretty poorly at the Honda, but I like the course history here, a former player's winner. And before the Honda, he was playing really well. Just had a kind of rough first round there at PGA National, which can happen to anybody. So I think that's enough to get people off him. Really interested there in Kuchar at 7,200. Ben Griffin is a young guy that I've been playing a lot this year. Had a lot of success with. He's making honestly, but you know, playing quality golf for a guy we can get at 7,100. And up at the top, just to kind of round out the sevens for me, Byron, Tommy Fleetwood disappointed a lot of folks last week, but he actually played really well. Gained over 4 strokes tee to green, just lost 5 strokes putting. You got any thoughts on Tommy?
I've been on him since the Genesis, so I'm one of those guys that he's disappointed, which, you know, makes me want to not click his name a lot more than a cheaper Corey Connors and Keith Mitchell, who's been doing some better stuff. So definitely like going back to him. Yeah, and he's got a nice little course history too, sitting right underneath Jason Day, which I think is a perfect position for him. And then, yeah, I mean, that short game, it's so necessary at this venue, and he's one of the best. And if he can just get it going, you know, he capitalizes on these courses that you get to like minus 10, minus 12 at. And at this price, you don't even need him to get to minus 10, just minus 5, you know, and I think he's looking good this week. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Okay, man. Yeah. As we get down kind of in the salary saving range, below 7K into the sixes, it's not somewhere we want to go every week. I think on a slate such as this, it's so deep, I think you don't have to, but I definitely think you can. A lot of quality players down here. Kurt Kitayama, last week's winner, at 6,900.
Yep.
I want to get your thoughts on Webb. Are you kind of buying the comeback from Webb last week? Had a really strong Sunday round at Bay Hill. He's been quiet all year. You know, he's a notable player down here. Several other guys. You can point out anybody you want to, man. I'm going to talk about my boy Davis Riley with a huge comeback round last week.
Huge.
Last Sunday. That's my boy. But, yeah, Byron, talk. Because it's Monday, and I'm already seeing a lot of people talking about Webb Simpson, a guy that we've talked very little bit about this year. But give me your thoughts on Webb and anybody else down here that you like.
Yeah, it's interesting because Webb's been the guy that everyone's been like, well, you know, he's got great course history, and maybe he bounces back. We've seen 4 or 5 events like that where it just really hasn't happened. And his inconsistency is just the biggest problem here. And I don't think I like that around a course like this. I mean, he's probably going to be very popular. The course history is incredible, but we've just seen too many. I mean, this was the first incredible round he's had in a while, and it was preceded by some very sketchy golf. Granted, he did make the cut, but if he's super high owned, I'm okay, you know, leaving him alone. I'll definitely go to him in like showdown because I think he's got that potential to just absolutely just pop like he just did on Sunday, especially after a bad round. You know, like, I think he can really get himself out of the tournament pretty quickly too. So, but at $6,800, Joe, I mean, you know, it depends what you want to get yourself into with Webb. What are you liking Webb this week or what?
I'm not crazy about him, honestly, Byron. Cheap chalk scares me. Just kind of as a general rule of thumb, cheap chalk really scares me. And Webb's kind of one of those guys that's his game's always been on the edge anyway. He's got to have so many things going right for him that can overcome a lot of things. And obviously on this golf course, it's something we're not too worried about, but Webb just has to have so many things go right. It's really phenomenal, the type of career he's put together. So, I hope he gets back pulling for him. But if he's going to be a popular option this week, I'm out, especially on this particular golf course that kind of creates volatility. I'm going to keep an eye on that. And I guess I'm not as big a believer as some in Webb's comeback.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there. And there's other guys like Joel Damon, who, if you're going to, who did you have in your lineup last week that was, it was like a Davis Riley that was cheap and low owned, that if he plays well, he can win you a GPP. That's basically what you're looking for in this range. You're not looking for a 12% owned Webb Simpson, right? Like,
yeah, I'm with you, man. And I think there's some of those guys down here. I mean, obviously that's all, you know, if we can consistently pinpoint those guys, we'd be in really good shape. We try, and a lot of times we can be fortunate and hit on some guys. But yeah, man, when I'm down here, just like you mentioned, I'm looking for guys with GPP upside, guys that can score, guys that can go out and put a low round up. To me, that's a guy like a Johnny Vegas, you know, has that capability. He's that type of player. Robbie Shelton's a young player that I lolled in this year. I think you can look at Robbie Shelton, Adam Svensson. It might be a name that you hear a lot this week, but Adam Svensson's at 6,600. Another one of those type of players. And then, hey, man, you know I'm going back to Davis Riley. I think he's a really talented guy. I really like him in the state of Florida. That's where he has the opportunity to shine, it feels like. Very nearly won the Valspar last year. I really like what he's capable of doing. I think he's in the coming years. And a guy I'm going to toss out, Byron, maybe I'm crazy. He's a guy I played at the Honda, had a lot of exposure to. Been sneaky good. He's got a T30 on his player's resume back in 2017. Hadn't played this tournament in a couple of years. That's Ben Martin at 6,400. That's a sleeper that I'm tossing out for you this week, big boy. Get on the Ben Martin train. You got any guys down here deep that you're looking at, Byron?
Yeah. I asked you a few questions before I got off the top of these 9K guys, but I love Joel Damon. If you're looking for a course history guy, he's one of these dudes that he finally can shine again on a shorter golf course. So I'm in on him. Love Adam Svensson's call to the whole thing there with him is fantastic. And Robbie Shelton as well. Love those two guys that you mentioned. Ben Martin, I'll have to take a deeper look at and make sure that I'm totally on board. But I mean, after last week, I'm willing to trust you with my life, Joe, when it comes to DFS. So we'll go with Ben Martin this week. I think Ben Taylor is he in? I don't think he's even in the field this week.
I saw earlier today. Although, I think I saw earlier today a WD, but I have to double check on that because I that's a player that I'd circled. And I could have sworn earlier I saw a WD, so we'll need to check in on that.
Me too.
Yeah,
because the price, I've got his price in here, but it's not. I don't think he's in the field. Let's go with Kevin Kisner as another guy that I'm in the kind of, you know, the GPP upside. You're not going to probably get the consistency you're looking for from a guy like that in this range. But if he has a good week, if you have a guy that's a really good putter in this kind of range, that can just, you can gain so many strokes putting, you know, and he's capable of that. And he's shown us what he can get up to on and around these greens here at this venue. He can obviously also as easily miss the cut. So he's a little bit of a risky play, but I think he'll definitely give you a bit more leverage than you're looking for from like other guys that are going to be a bit more chalky in this range. Brendan Todd is someone at $6,900 that I think will do well here too. You know, one of the shorter hitters with a very tidy short game, especially if you're looking for some guys that played at Pebble Beach. I'm liking those kind of carryover rounds from, I mean, he played fantastic golf. And then we missed Nick Taylor in this, just at the bottom of the 7K at 7 flat. If you could take a look at Nick Taylor's consistency, I think he missed last week, but I don't think he suits that golf course that well. This week, man, you know, he was just, he almost beat Scotty Scheffler at the Waste Management Phoenix Open like a few weeks ago. So yeah, if he's going to be sitting at $7,000 and doing that again, sign me up. I'm all about him.
Yeah, I like that call. I think there's a couple guys there we may be kind of glossed over. There's so many guys in the 7Ks, but Nick Taylor was one of those guys right at 7K. And then another couple guys right there that I wanted to toss out. Adam had one in fairway and green grinder type guys that know how to handle this type of golf course. You know, I think you can give those guys a look as well. I believe it's Dietrich's first start, but we've seen Hadwin play well in a couple of previous players' championships. So, you know, those are guys in this type of event I don't mind having some exposure to, especially if they're going to go under the radar a little bit with some of those very popular guys down there. Have you got anybody else? I want to get your dart play for the week. I'm going to get your dark horse, your favorite underdog, your long shot. Give me your guy, your kind of under the radar dart throw of the week, man.
So I'll always start off with my first dart. I get two in this on the show, and the first one's always Emiliano Grillo. So we'll go with him to start off with, especially after what he did last week. Holy cow. I mean, he led that field in ball striking. So if you can give me that again, sign me up. Let's take a look here. Do we want a real low one, or are we going to go with like, I'm kind of liking Nick Taylor. I really like him from a consistency aspect. And he's shown us he can get to the top of a leaderboard quite easily.
Yeah, I like Nick Taylor. I want to go deep, man. Davis Riley is obviously a guy I'm going to go back to this week. That Riley after that really impressive final round at Bay Hill. But he's a talented guy. That's a great price. So I like Davis Riley. And then I guess my dart, I'm going to go with a true dart. That's Ben Martin, a guy I mentioned a moment ago at 6,400.
Yes.
You know, it sounds kind of crazy to roster a guy like that in a field like this, but he opens up a lot. It's a way to get contrarian with lineup construction. Coming off of T5 at the Honda belt, and he's gained strokes tee to green in four or five starts this year. Gained strokes on approach in four or five starts. So you know, if you're looking for a cheap dart throw, there are worse guys out there. What about up the top, Byron? Doesn't have to be up at the top, but who's your heart telling you is going to win this thing this week? I know it's Monday, so we're not holding you to it other than capturing it on video, but what's your heart? Are we going to change it up? What are you thinking?
I mean, I've got a Tom Outright. I think he's going to win this thing for sure. I think Keegan's going to win it as well. But, you know, I think Keegan. You know, it's a place where he kind of came out of the hibernation there with the putter last year. This is when he really showed that he'd figured out aim point. And, you know, he's had a great track record, yeah, even with the bad putter. So now that he's got the putter kind of popping, I wouldn't say like working all the time, I really like his chances to kind of do something. You know, you can't make that many cuts, Joe, at an event like this with this amount of volatility and not like a guy, you know, which is like famous last words kind of type stuff. But the price he's at, it's not even a dart at 7,400 bucks, right? 7,500 bucks, not even a dart.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the upside he can give you is just immense. So I'm going to go with Keegan at 7,500 bucks.
Yeah, man, it's tough to argue with you there, Byron. I like Keegan a lot myself. I wrote him up in horse for the course this week. As you mentioned, the course history is tremendous. The recent form's been really sharp, and he's just a pro's pro, man. Just a legit PGA Tour player. Just a really solid veteran that can go out there and strike the irons really well, knows the ropes on this tricky Kentucky golf course. I think Keegan's got a good shot this week. I'm probably going to regret this, man. I just keep getting on this JT train, man. Bet him last week at 30-1. I couldn't let that number go by. I think you can catch him a little bit over 20 this week. 20 to 22, I think I'm seeing. So I'm going with JT. Definitely gonna have some JT exposure. I just feel like he's not far away from everything clicking, and when everything clicks, we know what he's capable of. Shout out JD for Spencer. Really helped to see Jason Day continue to play well this week. Byron, I appreciate you hopping on. AP had some things going, so we definitely appreciate you joining us, and you're always welcome anytime. Love having you. Tell us a little bit about your articles you're doing this week. Pump yourself a little bit, big guy.
Hell yes, yeah. Couldn't quite take down the FSWA award there, unfortunately, for the Rotoballer squad. But the Breaking 100 article is always a good one. I'll be getting to that this evening or early tomorrow morning, and just kind of letting people know how I'm going to go about betting this week. And it's going to be a week that we've kind of been going easy going into this week. So I think we'll be going hard at the paint on the betting side. We think we've got some good reads. And then we've got some other articles like the Stat Buffet, which is really cool. It's got all my model screenshots in there from around the green play, from like sand and rough and fringe. So if you want to like get real frisky with your stats, you can really dive into that stuff and find some nuances and some edges that you can potentially use to your advantage. And then I've got some other DFS. I got a FanDuel and a DK article that I'll be putting out pretty much on Wednesday. I think those are very ownership dependent pieces, which I think is very important when it comes to DraftKings and things like that. So those will be coming out then. Lots of fun stuff. It's a great week. I love this week. And then I've got back 9 bets tomorrow on my own. And then, that's pretty much, it's a busy week, you know. Yep. So it's a fun week, though. Love this tournament.
Yeah, busy week, man. And you're a busy guy. Don't sell yourself short, though, on DFS. My man Byron took second down last week a little. Seven time, definitely don't sell yourself short on that, man. Tremendous DFS player, tremendous rider, tremendous better. And he's a grinder, man. Showdown slates every single day. That's something we're doing, offering free.
Yeah.
Byron hooks you up on that. So definitely want to encourage you guys to follow Byron's Twitter account. You can head over to rotoballer.com, find those every single day of the tournament. Byron's doing amazing with that, and we appreciate it. So thanks, Byron, for joining. Thank you to all these. It's going to be a fun, awesome week. A lot of coverage, wall-to-wall coverage. Coffee golf, as AP and I call it. Wake up watching golf and kind of enjoying your day. And your lineups are going to be lifting you up or sending you off to work a little bit crushed. But we hope things go well for y'all. Find us at rotoballer.com. You can listen again on YouTube to this episode. You can tune into our iTunes channel, go to Spotify, check us out pretty much anywhere, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. It really helps us out. So thanks a lot, Byron. Thank you, guys. Let's have a great players and talk about big winners next week.
Already hit 3 in the lake. It's gonna drive me.